So, guys, today we are joined by Derek York. He is a serving member of the National Guard over in America and a Spartan racer and Decafit athlete. Derek, how are we doing?
Doing pretty good, guys. Hey, thank you for taking the time to chat with me. I appreciate even the offer to be on. It's awesome.
No, thank you for joining us today.
We will just say Derek is currently on shift. He is in all his kits on the screen. So if we hear a massive loud bang and loads of people shouting, Derek might just have to leave.
I'll take off running.
We've got him. So, yeah.
Perfect. So, Derek, at the end, I just mentioned Decafit, and you've just come off the back of winning the first ever real-life Decafit event. Let's hear a little bit more about that event.
Oh, well, first of all, hats off to the guys at Decafit, Yancey and Jared and everybody that put that on. It's been a long time coming. Those the poor guys were supposed to do it a year ago in Denver. And so it's just awesome that they were able to do it. So hats off to those guys. It's just an incredible event, really something fun to be a part of.
Now, definitely, as you said, it's been a long process for them to put this event on. The idea was floated last year. I think we spoke to Yancey when they were just kind of bringing it out. We did an episode with him and spoke about what Decafit was going to be, what the vision was for them. But it seems from the videos that we've seen that they put on a really fast, furious kind of event that had people almost next to each other for the finish, which is crazy.
Yeah, they did a really, really good job with that. I was super excited that they were able to open that up a little bit. Yancey was talking about doing two loops at first. And so I was like, I let him know that I'm planning on going ridiculously fast to start off with. So the bigger he could make that, the better it would be for me.
Good. And for the Decafit, the run distance was what, 500 meters in this one?
So it's 500 meters. Yep. Before every exercise.
And how many stations are there in the Decafit?
So in Decafit, there's 10 stations. Mm-hmm. Okay. And you'll do almost a different number every time going through. And there's a different one. So, you start off with your lunges, and I don't know how much you want to get into that, but I can go through every one of those if you wanted to. But yeah.
No. We don't have to go for every station. They don't want you to relive the pain of each one.
It is painful, every one of them, in its own way.
It looked like you were putting full gas on this. What was the toughest station? What was the most brutal one?
Probably I think what everybody says, I think, is probably that air assault bike, but just where it lands. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the seventh one. You've already been hurting, but there's just no real let up, and you're close to the end, but you're not. So it's just brutal. And then they have it ticking down. Right. So it starts at 25 calories and then it just doesn't move. I feel like no matter what,
a broken screen.
Yeah,
guys, mine doesn't clearly work. Broken. I'm giving everything here, so I think just where it lands and just the fact that the assault bike is pretty awful in and of itself. I would say that one. That's a bit, and that was a big turnaround point in the race as well. So, pretty brutal spot for that.
Did they record live stream the race? I know I watched Yancey's like personal mobile videos on Instagram, but I don't know. Did they actually live stream the event or would it be?
He did. So Jared was doing it on Facebook Live for a little bit.
Yeah.
But it was as soon as we got to the first station, Manic. They did the first run in the first station. And then I guess he had to get pulled to go do something.
Yeah.
And then that was it. So
it's interesting. What they almost need, thinking about it, is like an overview shot, because I find, like, unlike a Spartan race or any race, a trail racer, where you can actually see, oh, there's first place, second place, third place. I'd assume in these melees of madness of just guys just absolutely going left, right, center, backwards, forwards. You actually right. have no clue. And you probably at some point thinking, well, I don't know if I'm in the lead or not in the lead. I mean, we'll ask you about this in a minute, but it almost lends itself to like a bird's eye shot. So actually you could watch as like a computer game going around the circuit from the top. So you know where people are. That would be really cool. I think,
I think it would have been, it'd be great. I'd love to. And I think it would be great to watch back. Right. So then you can kind of learn, all right, well, I sucked right there, or this is where you can do different things. But it was, I think it would be great to watch. I think it was fun even afterwards watching, you know, the female elite racers go, which was a heck of an event. And then even, you know, the age groupers, and as everybody went, you can really see where everybody's doing well, where they're moving. Yeah, I think it would be a ton of fun.
And Derek, what was your finish time?
So I went 31 flat was the official finish for that.
So kind of a 30 to 45 minute live stream of that kind of event would have been really good to watch.
I think so.
Yeah, we've seen other events that have kind of functional fitness. Your CrossFits are really good to watch because they're really intense. You can kind of see what's happening. You've seen other functional fitness events that have got live streams as well. Yeah, maybe DecaFit, that's, we know they've just started. So maybe that's the progression for them down the line. Obviously, no pressure, Yancey, Jordy, to make it happen, but make it happen. And there was pretty much an epic finish between you guys on the final station. How many people were there? Was like six lined up, five or six?
So there was seven of us. There was seven of us in the final station.
Mm-hmm.
But I think I think I was about six or seven burpees done before anyone else got in.
So you were already six burpees ahead before, I think it was Killian.
Before Killian got in.
Got into the burpee box. Okay.
Yeah. And
it was close.
Killian.
It was close. I knew when I got off the bike, I knew I'd won. So that was, it was just nice to be able to stay there. But once, you know, you do the 60-pound D-balls over the wall. Mm-hmm. I mean, I had already had five of those done before anybody else got in. So I just kind of, okay, I can watch everybody. And then I had a full push and pull of the sleds or of the tanks done before Killian got into that. So I kind of knew how to game the rest of it from that point.
This is very interesting because, like, unlike another race like IE Spartan, if you did the full course Spartan, you can't really think like that. You can't really think, oh, I've nailed the spear, I'm going onto the hoist, I've won this, you know, even if it's only two obstacles left. Whereas with DecaFit, what's interesting is because you know it's rep based, you can almost go, well, I really know even Killian full out still can't beat me. If I'm already six or 10 in, he would have to go stupidly full out and then probably turn himself inside out to still then catch up. So actually, that's quite a nice but dangerous situation for you to be in because you can take off the gas a little bit knowing you've got a little bit reserved. But actually, because actually, if I remember watching Yancey's videos, Killian did his burpees ever so fast, and I can't forget me, I think it was Jack Bauer and a couple of the guys that are there in fourth and fifth and sixth, and they any one of them could have had it, but Killian, you could see his burpees were so much quicker than everyone else's, mainly because you had won, so you were already on the thanks lads, I'm finish line. But he was burpeeing like nuts, you know, crazy. But yeah,
I think it was actually he got caught in the burpees, so
was
he
way around.
Yeah. Right. It was the other way around. So it was Forrest
Bouge,
who was, so he came in, that guy can burpee faster than anyone. And I'm decent at burpees, which is the only reason that I beat Killian in a Spartan was because of burpees.
Right.
And so when they got in, I think Forrest took about 20 seconds out of Killian. And so he almost went. So if you look at the results, those two came across the line together in the same second.
Mm-hmm.
And Forrest almost went past him right there at the end. But yeah, it's interesting. You can kind of game it. It's, you really have to know your competition and you have to know where you are. And I knew that I can, you know, I knew I could run 5:30 pace and still recover on the 500 meter runs. Mm-hmm. Whereas I knew if they killed themselves and tried to go after it, I knew that I was right. If it came down to just the burpees and they couldn't breathe, then I'd be in a pretty good position.
Help.
Yeah.
Derek, what would you say your strongest? I know, obviously, Luke asked you which was the worst, but where would you say you actually strengths within? Is it the whole of it? Does the whole thing? I mean, for me, like, I like that style, but I don't do it, you know, like daily. Like, we always seem to think that army lads are always out on the military course, like doing burpees, doing push-ups. That's probably not reality, to be fair. But
it's not at all.
I'd imagine you're still pretty, like, you, Killian, and all your guys, all your colleagues, all the army, your eyes must have lit up when you saw like Hyrox, Decafit started doing all these functional fitness. You must have thought, yes, there's actually a competition that is purely made for, you know, the forces, really. Mm-hmm. Is it like that? Or is it like you really still have to work? Or are you lucky enough that you are just technically gifted to be able to run burpee, run bike, run? You know, it is a little bit army based, would you not say? Basically, you're cheating.
Yeah, it could be, except for I've only been in the Army 3 years.
Okay.
So this has been, it just happened to land in a wheelhouse that I'm pretty good at. So I was, I was an all-American runner in college. So 29 mid 10K. I mean, I was decent, but not
fast.
Not really. Fast is always relative, right? But I wasn't going to the Olympic trials or anything like that. And then I did CrossFit for the last 8 years. So, and then I was a professional triathlete for about 10 years. So, I mean, I had a decent ability to go from one thing to another. Mm-hmm. Running while your legs are toasted is something that I've been doing for a really long time. Right.
Yeah.
And what always gets me in Spartans is I am horrible at all of the obstacles. I just, I don't ever do them. I never train on obstacles. I just do a lot of grip and pull-ups and hope that something doesn't come along and I lose too much time.
I think 90% of obstacle races out there are living on hope, to be fair.
Yes, they are. They should probably train a little
unless
bit.
Unless your name's Ryan.
I listened to the y'all's last podcast with Kimson.
Yeah.
And you guys talk about the ability to do that. And I was like, that's a good idea. You should probably train those. And that would be, that's a great idea.
It would make a big difference, definitely. But let's talk a little bit about Spartan Race, because you did actually beat Killian in the last Honor Series race, I believe. And you won that one. So you're not too bad at obstacles then.
You are the world champ.
Not too bad. I mean, my gymnastics in CrossFit is decent. So I've been able to move on those things decently well. I have been able to do some of those. It's just it just so happened to work out at that point, because I'd been training full on just for the Decafit.
Yeah,
that time.
And I suppose training for Decafit, especially in a job like yours, it's easier to go down and hit the gym for 45 minutes if that's all you've got than it is to go for a 15-mile mountain trail run, isn't it?
Like,
we all know that that's actually the hardest thing you can do, you know, whereas for you guys, it's like, well, actually, if I am doing these functional fitness things, you know, I only do have 30, 40, 50 minutes or...
Right.
The gym only has a few rams or a few dumbbells, then, you know, you have to train specifically for what you've got. And, you know, it, like I say, it plays into your hands a little bit for sure.
It definitely worked out a little bit more to be able to do that type of training. And it's, I don't do as much base work clearly as what I was doing, you know, 10, 15 years ago, running 100 miles a week.
Here's a question for you then. So do you think your triathlon and your background in endurance sport still plays a massive factor now? So what I mean by that is, and I'll explain why I'm asking this question, because I've just had a baby and it's funny because you're training.
Welcome to the dad world.
It doesn't dip, but, you do struggle to get out. Let's be fair. That's all round, whoever's had kids or whatever, or any, not just kids or job or whatever it is you do. But then I'm sitting there thinking, well, I've got, you know, 10 years of decent base on me, you know, riding a bike, you know, 300 miles a week doing this. Mm-hmm. How much do you think that actually plays into your factor of like now? How much can you go back and your body go, do you know what? You've got those fibers there already. You've got that mentality. You've got the endurance built in. I get that it would be nice if we could continue to build it in, but actually, how much do you think you can draw from those past experiences?
Oh, it's huge. I think you nailed it right there. It's just the fact that I know that, like I said, I spent about 6 years doing 100 miles a week of running. Mm. Right? And then that played into, then I spent 10 years of training for triathlon after that. So I just had a huge aerobic base that seems to be what I could do. Even 2 years ago, I was still able to run a 230 marathon.
Yeah.
I mean, running 20, 30 miles a week.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But the ability to keep applying, right? And then the programming that you would do for like my CrossFit or really putting an emphasis behind squatting and deadlifting and using those has really seemed to help. And then when you, like you were saying, I've got two little girls at home and you have to compact your time. So what I would used to do is I would squat as much as I could and lunge as much as I could. And then I only had time for maybe a 5 mile run. So I would just load the legs with everything that I possibly could and then go run. And then that all the running that I was doing was compromised. So it just right. So I put everything into about 45 minutes, but that was the same feeling on my legs as when I would do a 60 or 70 mile bike ride.
Just that seriously heavy, tired, fatigue,
right?
Sort of lactic building. Yeah. Okay. That's also so easy to say, but doing that, that's great.
it's easy to say. It's tough to do. Yeah.
It's tough to do.
Yeah,
it
3 miles into that run and you're dragging those legs.
Oh, yeah. Your legs are dying.
No, for sure. Have you got on site, on base, have you got an obstacle course? Do armies have boot camp style obstacles? No, you don't have that.
I mean, we have some pull-up bars and then they have like we do have a really big obstacle course here. But it's so big that you're not allowed on it, right? You'd have to call like medics and let them get over there. Make sure that you're not hurt. You'd have to go through about, you know, 50 sheets of paper to make sure that you're qualified, that you've done it all. I mean, you can't just go in there and get on it.
So Robert Kinney just walked through, though, go, do you know who I am? Come on.
Yeah.
World champion here.
Yeah. Poor Killian. No, he's even he wouldn't be able to do something like that just to go get on things. But Killian's the world champ. He gets whatever he wants. So he can just build that stuff at his house.
And rightly so.
He's got a back garden full of it.
With the tires.
I just keep giving him crap. Everybody says, it's so funny. I'm going to pick on him a little bit, but Killian, you know, everybody wants a picture with him. I mean, he's a two-time world champ. He's a 2016 best ranger. I mean, the guy's done everything, but he has yet to beat me this year. And I keep pointing that out. Like, all right. But they're like, hey, can you hold the camera and take this picture? And I was like, you know, I won, right? I'm like, no, it's fine.
Oh,
I'm only going to do that for now. Cause if we go to Tahoe, he's going to absolutely blitz me.
Yeah. I was going to say, what's your mountain running like, Derek? Are you pretty good on the mountains or you're more of a flat man?
So I'm good at up.
Okay.
I can run up. I went to college in Colorado. We ran plenty up there. I can run at altitude. It's the down, right? Those guys can run like the, you know, VJs and the guy out on the West Coast. Yeah.
Yeah.
Johnny.
Those guys can just fly downhill. I've got kids at home. I'm not doing none of that.
That's it.
Yeah, they can have all that. So so long as it's up, the big thing too is that it's the uneven running. Mm. It's and I can't remember his name now, but he's an English guy. Yeah, the really fast
John Alban.
Thank you. That guy,
he's Norwegian.
He's amazing, but he's one of the most beautiful runners I've ever seen across uneven terrain. It's like it doesn't faze him.
Funny you should say that, Derek. Me and Luke had the privilege of running with Team Britain UK, wherever it was, a couple of years ago in the European Champs. We ran as a team, as a three.
Amazing.
There's a particular section on the Dolomites. The Dolomites is, if you've never been to Italy,
I know the Dolomites.
Yeah, like the Dolomites. Okay. So very rocky, very mountainous terrain, like break your ankles, be careful, rocky, right? At one point, we're doing what? I looked down at my watch, we're doing 4 minute miling down this grass verge. And I'm looking at Luke, looking at me. John is getting further away from us. So he's doing like three something quicker. Then we hit this sort of riverbed of like a rocky riverbed. And literally, I think within a matter of 20 seconds, John put a gap on me and Luke of about 400 or 500 meters just on this rocky bed where me and Luke are like, whoop, whoop.
It's almost
like he had wings. It was like he had wings and it was like slow-mo. And I just remember looking at Luke going, how the fuck is he running so fast on that terrain?
I've watched him and his ability to move across things. Like I've been watching running for the last 20 years, but just his ability to move like that. And that's one of the things that like I've always kind of said that, you know, is different about Spartan. Right. Because a lot of runners are like, oh, those guys aren't that good. They only run this fast. I'm like, yeah, but they can run that fast when you have no idea what you're
running and
doing. Right. Yeah. Like they're all over the place. That's why I was pretty big fan of, Decafit. It's on a concrete floor. All right. Now we can play. Yeah,
no worries.
Absolutely.
Let's talk about Decafit and Hyrox, because you've done some Hyrox events as well, and you've done a Decafit one. The time range of a Hyrox is like an hour or in and around that 1 hour mark, and a Decafit was for you about half an hour. Did you find you could push a lot more with the shorter one? Was it easy? Not easier, but did it have a different strategy?
Short's never easy.
No, it's a lot more burning, but there's a lot more running in the Hyrox.
I think the Deca hurt more than the Hyrox did. Yeah. Just because the difference is that with Hyrox, it just comes down to the push and the pull.
That's what
it is. Asinine the amount of weight that they're having, right? I'm a 145 pound runner going up against, right? I hit that in front of Hunter in Miami, and then I just waved at him as he went by, right? I mean, it was what, 485 pounds, I think, with total with the sled.
It is crazy.
What am I supposed to do with that? So, I mean, it took, I think I still have the fastest runs at a Hyrox, and yet I think it took me a combined 13 minutes, where it took him a combined, you know, four for the whole thing. I mean, it's just the weight. You take those out and now it's a completely different workout, or if you even cut the weight in half. So when it comes to Hyrox, I don't think it's necessarily the length of it. I mean, it's like in the efforts, it's, you know, it's comparing a 5 miler and a 10 miler. I mean, it's not that far apart, but the weight is just unbelievable.
Derek, is there any point of view, I'm not sure how I would feel, is there any point of view that now wants to go stack on the weights, literally go to the gym every night and do the push-pull, get that sled push down to an absolute beast? Because I think you could do it without losing too much running time. You know, I know you're a little bit off Hunter on weight-wise, but do you think...
By about 60 pounds.
Yeah. Do you think it's possible to catch Hunter, or do you think it's a record that will not be caught?
I think I could get awfully close. The difference being, so I loaded up and retested that push and pull recently. Over the winter, I did nothing but lift. I mean, that was it. That's all that I was doing over the winter. And was able to put it down into that 4 and 5 minute range. It would completely depend on, okay, what shoes are you wearing? What's the carpet like, right? Because the carpet that they use, it's still a turf, but it's still a rollout. But what they use over in Europe and the one that they use over here in the States is actually different. And how they apply it and put it to the ground. So that could be I mean, that's a make or break. So do I think it's possible? I do think I can make a pretty good run at it. I do think I could do really well at a high rocks. But I would have, yeah, I would absolutely have to put on about 10 pounds of muscle and then really have to figure out and get onto their actual carpet there at High Rocks.
You're about to get
to see what that goes.
Yeah.
Which is interesting, isn't it? Yeah. That just proves that actually to be top of an individual sport or a very special skill like High Rocks, like Dekovic, you do have to train massively specific to get to that level. And then some if you want to beat like the best. But that says to me that Hunter has clearly got that nailed on, because I don't think, even if there's anybody, like you say, you're faster than him already, but you can't touch him on the strength side of things. But if you got strong like him, then he can still run as well. So it's an very interesting situation, isn't it?
It would be a ton of fun.
Is there anybody out there that could? Forrest Bruce, do you think he's pretty good or not close enough again?
I don't think right now. I mean, I have to be honest. I don't know anybody that can beat him. And that includes myself. Even if I got that strong, he is just, he's incredible right now. I think if he even came down to, down into Dekovic, I still think that he could do.
I'm waiting for him to do that. I'm waiting for him just to give it one of those to everyone in Spartan. I've got a feeling he will come over and just destroy Dekovic as well.
I hope he does. But he's good. Yeah. We're in a different world now. This is kind of my thing. So good luck.
Derek, do you think the Dekovic is a bit of a better as a setup for somebody who doesn't want to do a lot more of that strength stuff or doesn't want to maybe commit to get to a kind of an athlete like Hunter? If you want to still do the Spartan, endurance, do a lot of running, more of an endurance based, you can still do a Dekovic. and be a skinny runner, basically.
Yeah. I think what it is it just goes to show what I was saying before, is that Dekovic is just straight horsepower, right? So running on uneven terrain, being specific in the when you're doing Spartans as far as the obstacles go, right? Mm-hmm. Or doing any OCR, right? Whether it's Savage or anything else. And then a real specific push and pull with particular weights. I think when you just remove everything outside of just running, and then it's just how much horsepower do you have? There's nothing to get in your way. It's all set up right there. The gun goes off and you basically just hold your breath, and how much pain can you hang on to?
One of them springs in UK now.
I hope that they do. That would be fantastic. But that training it'll just help. I think you just start to see different athletes are going to do well in different points, right? I think like somebody like VJ can come across and probably do really well. I mean, he's just an incredibly fit person.
Interestingly, I saw on Jack Bauer's Instagram today that they were at Dekovic trying out, or with Yancey trying out Dekovic, I think. And VJ beat Jack Bauer, I think, convincingly towards the end. So that gives you an idea.
10 seconds or something.
Yeah, that gives you an idea of where he would be. So that would put him in that top five.
Yeah. I think he would do really well. And I think it's also... the good thing about it is that it's still a race. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like you can still game it. You can still, I think I put everybody into oxygen debt and just in the first run, I think we did, I want to say I did that first 500 meters at like 4:04 per mile.
So here's a question then for you, Derek. So if say for instance, me and Luke were doing Dekovic next week, You would say to us, lads, no new competition, like you said earlier. However, if you feel like you can actually hold a stupidly quick pace for the first three or four sections, would you say your best strategy? And I'm telling the whole bloody country now, but is the best strategy to absolutely nail as hard as you can from that off?
No, I would say do not do that. Matter of fact, I talked to Lauren right before the female the females took off and actually said, hey, it's a long race. Don't do what I just did, because that was horrible. I was just able to hang on. But I, again, it's a race and it's a mind game. And you can go, okay, I now know that everybody's in oxygen debt. Mm. Who wants to hang on? As opposed to, right, the goal is to win the race at the elite level, not to run a fast time. So like I told Yancey afterwards, I probably left a minute out there just because I didn't pace it correctly, and I didn't pace it like I would tell someone, right? If I'm coming in as a coach, I would say, hey, look, breathe, pace things, you know, make sure you're staying unbroken through everything so you can just breathe. You don't just have to sit there and stare at the box or something. You're continuously moving. And then once you hit the bike, you can start to let everything go from there. I think that would be the fastest way to do things. But when you're racing, that's not always right. I was just like, okay, I threw it down in the first 200 meters and let's see who wants to play.
I think as a racer, I think, and I know that situation because I found myself in a situation where I've run a sprint before and that's not normally my thing. And then I found myself out in front going, oh shit, now I've got to hold on.
Yeah.
Or push. Do I back down and get them lads to help me out, or do I just push? So that, I think, again, that's the whole thing about, one, knowing your competition, but two, if you do go out slightly faster, because let's be fair, we all do that, you know, and you find yourself that little bit further ahead, you know, a bit like what we said to Kempson at a Savage race, you know, he didn't plan to be out 2 minutes,
right.
But it just happened. And that's when you've got to go, okay, game plans change. We go to game plan B, and that's just hold on for dear life. But like we said at the start of the podcast, I suppose with something like Hyrox and Decafit, you know what your reps are. So it's not like, it's not like you're going to fail an obstacle and do burpees. You actually know you've got X amount of burpees or X amount of reps. So actually you can, it's easier to play mind games as well, I suppose, isn't it?
You know? Right. Yeah. You definitely know where
you're at.
You know where you're at, and you know who's around at that point. So yeah, it's a little easier to play, you know, to play mind games or to try to push in particular areas. Hats off to Forrest. He hung on for much longer than I wanted him to, and he ran really, really, really fast. And then just a couple of the, I think it was round 7 and 8 that just kind of put him at a deficit. So
You alluded to earlier, interesting question, clothing choice. Now, it's not something we often talk about, obviously within the world of Spartan and OCR, you know, shoes and this and that. What would your, I mean, this would be my first question to anyone, is what shoes do I need to wear? Like, you know, what are you wearing?
So I saw that both Forrest wore his, right, the marathon shoes, the Next Percents.
Right. Okay.
Which is, which I thought was brave. I thought that was a little too much stack height, personally. But the female that won was wearing 4%. So, you know, maybe that was something that you can do. Something that's flat, right? I saw people wearing trail shoes. Don't do that, right? You're in a, you want to wear something that's, low to the ground, something lightweight. I wore the, it's a Saucony A, I don't know what it is now, A8, A9, whatever they have, the Type A's, but just a low to the ground shoe. And I think Innovates would be really good since it's so much lower. If you can run in a CrossFit shoe, although most of those are pretty crappy when it comes to running. Something that you can, something that can grip, like most of the time it was it's a concrete floor. So, something light and fast that you can run in.
And do you take any fuel on? Like, is there water? Do you take water on or not bother? Do you just hydrate well?
No. Hydrate well. I knew it was going to be around 30 minutes. No, I didn't take a sip of water, nothing. Go as fast as you can.
Okay. And I suppose 30 minutes, I know it sounds a long time, but I suppose actually it does go quite quickly. Did you find?
No. I got to round two and I was like, oh shit, this is really far. This is a long way to go. But I think that's one of those mental things, right? You try to say, okay, stay present. Well, okay, where is everybody? Breathe. You know, when you get back to the runs, try to stay as calm as possible. And so you just play those.
Yeah. Talking about the mental side, what was the scene like at the event? Was there music going? Was there a lot of people? Was there crowd watching? What was the kind of event setup like while you were racing?
Oh yeah, there was music playing, which is awesome. And you're running around basically everybody, right? So all the racers that were there coming in, yeah, you had people cheering for you. Because of COVID, they had to limit the amount of people in there, even though Texas is wide open technically at the moment. That's where I'm born and raised, so that's pretty funny. But they did have to do some limitations. I think at some point, like that's going to be a really, really fun arena to be in.
Because you're buzzing.
Yeah. Everybody's right there in your face. They can be, I mean, you had people 2 feet, 3 feet from you. They were wearing masks. I will say that, but you know, just as you're doing burpees. So you can kind of understand where things are going. Atmosphere.
I just remembered when we had Yancey on a couple of years ago and he was talking about the Decafit idea. I remember pitching an idea that each section should have its own music. So like you ran into and you could have your own decade. I thought that'd be well cool.
Oh yeah.
You could go to like the trans-European crap music stage. You could go 60s. Into like 60s. The Texas music. You could go to Dolly Parton.
Oh yeah.
And all that sort of thing.
So we need to
they just have elevator music sitting there.
Yeah, that'd be brilliant.
As you ride the bike.
Yeah, that'd be epic.
This is horrible.
Like it's interesting. We all love racing. We all love training. One thing, I mean, we haven't raced here yet in the UK. And one thing I am looking forward to is just that buzz. And funny enough, Kempson analogy to the start of the last podcast, he basically said, you know, it was just so good to be back with people in front of people and knowing that everyone in that field is doing the same thing that they love. That feeling of just, and I think because of COVID, we're going to have more of that. I think there's going to be more love for the sport. I think
there's more appreciation
for people's dedication for training. And it'll be really interesting to see who else, you know, like me, for instance, against Luke, how well's Luke Lockland sorted Luke out, you know, how well's my other competition.
Yeah.
Did you have a bit of that? Did you sit around? I mean, obviously, you know, some of the lads there in the army, obviously you spend a lot of time with Robert and people like that, but are you looking around going, I wonder how he's doing? I mean, it's a little bit different because you've had things like, I don't know if you watched, did you do OCR Stars, Derek?
I did not.
You did? No, okay. Because obviously Forrest did really well there. So you're thinking, he's doing right, you know, and, you know, so did you have a bit of that banter going on, like a bit of getting in people's minds at the start of the race?
Yeah, I think we were all just excited to be around. I think Robert and Victor Quisada was there as well. And that was the podium out at Jacksonville. So we were just kind of laughing at each other at that.
Yeah.
But Jacksonville was just an opening. It was just, that was amazing to be a part of. I raced all 3 days. I'm pretty sure I was the only one to race all 3 days.
Did you?
That was brutal. Yeah, I raced the cross the day before. Mm-hmm. And then I was there on Sunday. You just didn't see me because I was like 12th.
Hey, that's pretty impressive. Still.
By then I was so tired. Yeah. It was just amazing to be a part of. I understand that it can get COVID affected everybody in a different way. But I think instead of like, oh, this guy looks really fit, or I wonder what he's doing. We were just happy to be
there. You didn't care. Yeah.
We just wanted to go as hard as we possibly could to see what was all there. And then, hey, everybody, let's go get a beer afterwards.
Yeah, so that's nice.
I was all excited.
You talked about a little bit there, Derek. I didn't realize you'd done the actually Spartan Cross. Just a quick questions about that. So do you think that would be something you now might specialize in? Just sort of like switching between Decca, Hyrox, short course, you know, is that, because that almost works, isn't it? Because like you say, you can keep your mileage reasonably low. You haven't got to go and do ridiculous mileage. You know, you could jump on the bike, you can jump on a salt bike. and still probably someone of your caliber can probably still get away with doing quite well on like a Spartan Cross.
I think Spartan Cross will be fun. It doesn't give me the running in between that I normally use to catch up to everybody.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, I would start to make a move and then, so I'd have to get just more proficient at obstacle. Yeah. Right. Yeah. I mean, it was right on top of each other.
Yeah.
So you're looking at a VJ really then, aren't you? Someone like that, that might nail those type of courses. Do you think?
Yeah, I think VJ would do really good. Logan Broadbent he ran just away from us. I mean, I was in second for most of it and then just died horribly and on the last bit. That's what you get for not doing any obstacles. But I just want to race. I don't care what the race, if it's High Rocks and it's a round or it's a Decafit or it's a Spartan, I don't really care.
Do you like the way that racing is going at the minute? Do you like all this functional fitness and the short course? Obviously, I mean, I can't believe it hasn't been around for 10, 15 years. I'm like, why is it still quite new? You know, like it's weird that it hasn't been around. It's probably been happening in gardens and back gardens for years, but to actually be now proper official and, you know,
an event.
Oh, yeah. I'm super pumped for it. I mean, these are the things that I've been doing for years, right? Oh, let's do running and then do some lunges and then do something. I mean, as soon as Yancey announced that this was going to be a thing, I literally texted. I don't know if he believed me, but I texted him and I was like, this is mine. I just told him, I was like, you just softball pitched me exactly what I want to do with Decafit and I'm going to win. And he was like, well, there's guys like Kent and Killian and there's a lot of really fast guys. And I went, that's awesome. Guess what? I'm gonna win.
Did you not tell him it should have been called Derek Fit, not Deca Fit?
Yeah, I think he misspelled it.
You should tell him to get that message up again and just be like, look, you need to change the name. I said years ago, it's happening.
I think I gotta win a few more. It's fun to be able to say that now that I won the first one. But again, those guys are a proven pedigree. So it's just fun to be in the conversation at the moment.
So when is the second one then, Derek?
Yeah, when is the next one they've already announced?
There's one in Atlanta. Mm. There's another one coming up in Atlanta in 2 weeks. And then the week after that, they'll be in Palm Beach. I do not know if I'll be able to race either one of those yet, just due to personal scheduling. I do hope so. I do. I want to get that record under 30 minutes. I want to be the first one under 30. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to go do that. But I really hope they do start to get some of those bigger names out there.
Yeah.
So I think it'll be good to see.
I think it'll come with the Deca Strong as well, if that goes live as a competition. I don't know if it actually talks of going live as a competition, but if the Deca Strong goes live, I think you'll get then your CrossFit has come across as well. And I think also you've got to say, like, you've come from a triathlon running background. There must be so many people out there that are maybe a little bit bored about riding their bikes, maybe a little bit bored of running mountains, and actually think, do you know what? I might have a go at this. We've had it with like a lot of the Xterra and endurance athletes who come into Spartan. Yeah. You know, Middle Ditch is one of them, isn't he? Josiah, you know, so you just don't know who else is out there that might be listening to this podcast going, do you know what, that sounds like a bit of me and actually might be fucking awesome.
Sign up, give it a go.
Yeah,
definitely. Never know. I think you could be up there.
I think so as well, and I think it's one of the great things about it is not only if you're an elite, it's anybody that's done any one of those can finish it. And that's one of the big things that Yancey and Decafit are saying. But if I think you nailed it. When you're bored of just running, you can try this out. And then, hey, maybe the skier and the rower, some of those things were like, hey, I'd like to do that. Now you have more people walking into a CrossFit box or trying Spartan races or, right? It's that first, hey, maybe this would be good, right? And so now I think the whole idea, right, is just being a better human all the way around. So if you're super strong, maybe you need to run more and you see all this, right? Mm-hmm. If you're really good at endurance and you try something like this, maybe you start to go, there's a huge weakness. I should work on that. So yeah, any of these races, and any in particular things that are getting hands on different apparatus or different stimulus, I'm all for.
No, definitely. And like Decafit takes people into gyms, use different equipment, like you're saying, and they can get to that equipment quite easily now because gyms do yep. have ski ergs more available. There's a lot of like wall balls and stuff that they can use that is in the Decafit, those 10 zones. So mm-hmm. and you're seeing rams go out to all these gyms now, ram rollers. So yep. they're going to be lots of ram burpees that are brutal.
Yeah. the only thing I would say about Decafit is the tank. That's not really available in most gyms, which is a bit of a downer, isn't it?
So I don't have a ski erg. I don't have any rams. And I don't have access to a tank.
Okay, so that's why ski's gone.
So I'll put that out there. So it's still physically possible to win without those things.
Yeah.
Yes, specificity is good, but I just think the idea of, all right, now you have to think about it, right? Maybe you're just pulling down on bands. Maybe you're out there just pushing. What I had was just getting a sled and just pushing it and putting a rope around it and pulling it back.
Yeah. Yeah. But I like what you said there, just especially about the skier. You know, people think, well, how can I replicate that? But actually, a couple of bands. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah, the bands.
So just being sensible.
Sit there and pull on the band. It's the movement, you know, yeah. when you get people on it and it's just really, really awkward. But if you throw a couple of, you know, decent sized bands around a pull-up bar and just start pulling on it for 2-3 minutes, you're going to get, yeah. Yeah. It's going to suck.
So Derek, this season, what is the goal for you this season? Do you have some A races? Is there an aim that you're working towards, or are you just taking it
smashing everything
just going for everything?
Well, that was a pretty big deal to me, was to win the first Decafit. Back in October, I was just kind of sitting there and had to watch everybody do a Decastrong. And I had rhabdo at the time.
Oh, no.
And yeah, so I just couldn't do it. I couldn't compete in it. And so when I knew that was coming to Dallas, like that was my A, like that one's mine. I want to win the first one. Mm-hmm. And from here, it's just really just have, as much fun as possible. I started, this next week, I'll start actual run training. Like I was like, hey, maybe I should do some obstacles and actually train the run and see what we can do.
Luke, does it actually piss you off when someone says, you know, I'll just hold it a 4-minute mile, but I'll start running next week.
And my Spartan win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so Derek,
I didn't mean it to come across that.
It's okay. We're only joking, Derek. Where can people follow this journey then? Where can they find out info about you, Derek? Are you a big Instagrammer, Facebooker?
I do as much as I can with all four of you, I think, that are following me now. YorkFit, YorkFit. And that's mainly what I do. I am on Facebook as well. And you'll see every now and then you'll see some pictures of the kiddos, but yeah, just be ready for random bike workouts with kettlebells in between and, you know, pull-ups with some running and
done.
The fitness things.
You've got 5 followers now.
5. Oh, look at you. Y'all are doubling
them. Moving up. There we go. So yes, yeah. Check out Derek via his Instagram. You can find out more about the journey and Decafit on their Instagram. There's plenty of pictures.
Yes,
of Derek on there on the floor, dying off the line.
Yeah, my wife. That's my favorite one from my wife.
That's it.
I think you should do Decafit in all your kit, Derek, and see how far you head to head with Killian in your full kit.
Oh, done. Done deal. Killian, you want another, if you want another shot.
What a rematch.
Yeah,
we can do it all. We can do it all in kit.
With the gun.
I have a feeling that the results will be the same.
We definitely get Killian on now.
There you go. Right now he's got to do it.
Killian's at home like, what? It's happening. Yeah. Nice. Well, thank you very much for your time today, Derek. It's been great to speak to you and congratulations on winning the first ever Decafit. It's an amazing achievement and one that you will have forever.
Yeah, 100%.
Hey guys, I really appreciate it. Thanks so much. It's been a blast.
No worries, Derek. Thank you very much, and all for the best for the future, mate.
Thank you. Appreciate that.